some very dangerous things that you should allow your kids to do. That's next as the Ryan Dole Show continues. Remember how this week, it's been the last couple of weeks that I've been picking on those that have been born after 1981, huh? Is that when we started it? Yeah. Because to me, there was a cutoff. 1981 and above, meaning if you were born 1980, 1979, you're in my good books. 1981 and after, let's say 1982, 1983, if you were born there, you're a generation a little lost. It's not that you're my bad books. It's just you didn't get to grow up the way I got to grow up. And those of us who were born in the 70s and 60s and 50s all got to grow up. You see, when I was a kid, what used to happen was every Saturday morning during the summertime, we would get as much lumber as we possibly could. Everybody would always look for stuff beside our houses, right? That's where they used to stack the firewood. I know I sound like I grew up in a Mark Twain novel, but it's not true. That's where they used to stack the firewood, beside our houses. So everybody was responsible for bringing certain pieces of wood. And what we would do is we'd carry it in our arms to the middle of the street or to the schoolyard or perhaps to the park behind our homes. And what we would do is we'd dump the wood. And then we'd go back to our garages. And what we would do is get as many tools as we possibly could. Now, we weren't allowed to touch these things per se, but if mom and dad weren't around or they didn't know, it wasn't like these things were under lock and key. So we'd come back, one guy would come back with a hammer, another guy would come back with a screwdriver. Most people would come back with screws, which weren't nails, but we'd use them as nails. And we'd try to build something, a tree fort, a go-kart, what have you, right? And then later when we discovered pornography, well, then that was what we did in the woods. And we just looked at nudie pictures that were sort of rained on and greened out in a way. And wasn't, you know, it was all before the internet. But in today's world, everything is hidden away from kids. They don't really get that sense of adventure, and they don't get that sense of exploration. Which is why I am glad somebody is putting a little sanity back into things. It's a gentleman named Gaver Tully, who was the co-author of a book called 50 Dangerous Things, in brackets, You Should Let Your Children Do. He joins me on the line. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Ryan.
Thanks for being born before 1981.
Right back at you.
Where did you come up with the idea for the book?
Well, it really started as kind of an offhand comment. I was invited to speak at a conference called TED, and I threw together a presentation called 5 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do. And I sort of made the mistake of off the cuff saying, and this is excerpted from my work in progress called 50 Dangerous Things. And then people started sending me emails saying, where's the book?
So you had to follow through on a promise you inadvertently made to people.
Exactly, exactly.
How do you fill in a book like this? Where do you come up with the ideas? And let me get your first take. Do you agree with me the idea that we've sort of coddled our kids a little bit too much? We've protected them a little bit too much. Overprotected them, I think, is a term a lot of people have used.
Yes, that's the term I use, that overprotection, because really what happens is you end up creating children who are less safe by hiding all danger from them. They never learn how to judge or risk or danger for themselves. And the first time they run into a sharp knife, they cut themselves, or they pick up a sharp stick, or they, you know, it's a classic problem of never having been introduced to these materials early.
Now, I remember my first pocket knife when I was a kid. It was a red Swiss Army knife. It had about 15 different functions, including a toothpick. Didn't have any clue why I needed the toothpick, but it was in there just in case. And I think I had that probably around the age of 10 or 11. Is that the sort of thing that's in the book?
That's in the book under whittle.
Yeah, I used to whittle.
Yeah.
Remember whittling? Whatever happened to whittling? Nobody whittles anymore.
I know.
There'd be a video game application for whittling, but you'd never actually do it.
It's an interactive iPod app, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, whittling is a great activity for children. It's almost like a meditation. I mean, you give a kid a stick and a knife, and they'll spend an hour on the back porch.
A lot of fun. What else do you have in there?
Yeah. One of my favorites is throw stuff from a moving car. That's a great one. Not legal in every county, but
yeah.
Drive a nail. That's a great thing for kids to learn how to do. Number 14, put strange stuff in a microwave. I mean,
sure, every kid did that when they were young. Well, at least those before 1981.
Yeah, not anymore, as it turns out. And they just take this microwave like it's a black box. You know, they completely take it for granted. It heats up their cereal.
Yeah, they have no idea on the mechanics behind it or what would happen if you put in something that wasn't supposed to be put in there.
Exactly.
You also got Find a Beehive in there.
Find a Beehive? That's a great one. That's a great sort of reason to be outside, and it engages the children in a kind of natural detective story.
Yeah, because then they can explore where it came from, and, you know, if they make the bees mad, well, there's a little adventure in there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
This is Gabe Vertelli, co-author of the book, 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do. I understand, though, you had a school before all of this, a tinkering school?
That's right. About 5.5 years ago, we started this experiment called the Tinkering School, based on the notion that kids could be trusted. And we gave them real tools, real materials, and we let them build real things, you know, roller coasters, motorcycles, sailboat.
Wait a minute, you let kids build a roller coaster?
Yeah, 120 feet of track.
Come on!
Yeah, kids and adults all rode it.
And it was a working, functioning roller coaster?
A working, functioning roller coaster, yes.
That's pretty cool. How do I sign up for tinkering school? Can I come to your tinkering school?
Just hop on over to tinkeringschool.com. We've had kids from as far away as Paris, France.
Yeah.
And
that's got to be a pretty rewarding feeling for a young person to know that they've put together something like that at the age of, say, 16.
You know, it even works with kids as young as 8. We take kids from 8 to 17 years old, and you're right. There's something, it creates a seminal moment in their childhood of knowing that they built this incredible thing, gives them a little persistence next time they run into a stumbling block and they need to persevere. They look back on this project. Maybe it took them 3 days to build this thing, but they got it done and it worked.
And I like the language that you use in the book, because it doesn't do one thing that I think so many other books are guilty of doing. It doesn't talk down to kids.
That's right. I use the exact same language that we use at the school, which is that, you know, we talk to the kids like we would anybody else. We don't use cartoony pictures. The book itself is styled very much like an automobile manual or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's very factual, and the writing, as it turns out, kids are really eating it up, even though the vocabulary is almost college level.
Good stuff. We appreciate it, and we want to wish you the best of luck with it, because I think it's something that will turn some heads, but necessary heads to be turned nonetheless.
Well, thanks a lot, Ryan. I hope everybody will head on over to 50dangerousthings.com.
Absolutely. It's not as dangerous as it sounds. Gabe Vertelli, co-author of the book, 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do. I've got a little bit more to say about that in just a few seconds here, because he makes a fantastic point. We have coddled and hugged our kids and put them in little balloons way too much. I'll elaborate on that in just a second as the Ryan Doyle Show continues.
An evolution of talk radio. Ryan Doyle on the Astral Talk Network.
Just got a text message. Somebody saying, I had a wonderfully dangerous childhood. I rode my bike to the woods, took over any forts we found, caught rainbow snakes, explored houses under construction. Not that I grew up in the, you know, cast of Stand By Me by any stretch, but that's what we did when we were kids, right? We explored. Remember going out in a, this is probably a big throwback. I remember doing this. We used to fill up big containers, whatever our moms and dads had to use when they took us on long driving trips, whatever they had to fill up and put juice in. Right? Remember the big juice containers? We used to fill all of those up with water. And we would get them and we would put them in bags and all sorts of different things, fill them up all with water, and then get our water guns. And I'm not talking your big fancy super soaker water gun. I'm talking the old school electric powered one. Remember those? They had batteries, a battery operated thing. There was a certain name for them. I can't remember what they were called. But they had their own cartridges. And you just fill it up at the canteen, because you'd be in the middle of the forest. And you used to have war games. Remember war games? You'd have teams. You'd divvy each other up. You'd pick sides. And you'd have war games, water gun war games against one another. And you'd be that one poor SOB that was standing out in the middle of nowhere in no man's land, and you'd run out of water, and you could see the enemy coming for you, and they would shoot you down, and your clothes would be soaked, but you knew you were going to get them. You knew eventually you would come back, and you'd have all sorts of water balloons and water grenades and all that kind of stuff, and Mom and Dad would leave you alone for hours out there. And you'd run around completely soaking wet, spraying each other and shooting at each other. And you'd all have a good laugh at the end of it, and everybody walked away as friends. Right? That's how it used to be. In today's world, your mom would be worried about you catching a cold and pneumonia. And you wouldn't be able to play with guns because it's too violent. And you wouldn't be able to have teams because somebody would be left out. And all of those things are things that today's kids are missing. And I'm glad somebody's written a book about the idea that there are some dangerous things. We used to catch animals. We used to catch snakes and all sorts of things. You know, I've been sprayed by skunks before. Learned a valuable lesson. Don't screw with the ass end of a skunk. Or the front end, for that matter. Paulo, you're on the Ryan Doyle Show.
Hey, Ryan. How are you tonight?
I'm good, man. Taking a little trip down memory lane tonight.
Oh, God. You really sparked it for me. I mean, I remember a lot of those things. Heck, I called because I'm wondering if you were reminiscing on our street. We used to do is with the old hockey sticks, we cut them off and make like an elastic slingshot rifle
hockey stick
with the clothespin and the glue and the nails and stuff like that. Like, if modern parents saw that, they'd probably get charged with something.
Oh, yeah. You'd be in the custody of Children's Aid in a heartbeat.
And of course, we had the cool neighbor who used to work for Toronto Garbage. And he'd go, hey, come here. I got some other cool things to play with, which nowadays would probably be illegal or illicit or something.
Oh, yeah. That guy would be doing jail time.
See, but the thing is here, it was a valuable lesson because now I work in the building trades, and I got good hands, and I build and fix things, and people call me. So, you know, it's a very... natural part of childhood. So, you know, I think you're right that the kids are being so pampered today. They can't do anything.
No, they can't. They're in cocoons, Paulo. It's a joke nowadays. I'll come back and I'll tell you what was on the end of my hockey stick. This would have probably got me arrested way back in the day. What I did with my hockey stick when I was a kid. You remember those old cement nails you could get? I guess you can still get them. But the blade of my stick had broke. The wooden blade of my stick had broke. And I needed one of those plastic blades. So in a pinch, because we played a lot of street hockey way back in the day, I took one of those cement nails and hammered it into the shaft of my stick so that the blade would hold on. Except about 2.5-3 inches of the cement nail stuck out of the front end of my hockey stick. And I thought to myself, this isn't such a bad thing, considering we had a bit of a inner street rivalry. So what I ended up doing, and it was funny because I used to play hockey. You know John Tavares? He's a big deal now, apparently, in the NHL. Everybody heard of him? Plays for the New York Islanders. Well, his uncle and I used to play hockey against one another. And he was a much better hockey player than I was. So what I used to do is, when he wasn't looking, I would slash him a little bit with the cement nail that was popping and protruding out of my stick. Is that wrong? That was probably wrong back then. Looking back, I apologize. I apologize to John Tavares' uncle for doing that. But look, your nephew's now in the NHL. And I don't have any nephews, so that probably works out for the best.